the moment you have been waiting for. Would you please welcome Pastor Bronc Flint from Immokalee, Florida!
My God. We have a good time, don't we? Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. That is good, good, good. Man, I'm going to miss you guys. This thing's almost over. Makes me sad. Isn't that something? Where'd the week go? Amazing. Where, Mark? Mark says he's going to miss me too. So, turn with me to where Gary's had us several times, as he's mentioned, maybe the theme verse, 1 John 4:18. I want to read that. I know we could quote it, but I want to look at it and then look at one other scripture in Ephesians. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning to hear from Dr. Jim Martin. Hallelujah. Amen. So we've got some good stuff coming up. 4:18 says this. And I agree with Gary. Boy, if there was ever a verse that seemed to kind of epitomize the last few days, and even today, I'm sure, says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has what? Torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, then how many of you would agree it is our utmost desire to be made perfect in His love? Amen. Well, Paul prayed a prayer for us as he prayed for all the church, and I want us to read that prayer, and it's in Ephesians 3. And it's a prayer concerning the love of God, and it's a prayer concerning us being perfected in that love and coming to that place where we know the fullness of His love. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, and it's in verse 14. Paul prays this prayer, and he writes it down and sends it to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be," and here's the whole subject, here's the whole crux of this prayer, "that you may be rooted and grounded in" what? "In His love. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints," and he's trying to paint some kind of picture for us or something to wrap our minds around, "that you would comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That you would know the love, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And as a result of it, that you might be filled with" the what? "The fullness of God." So if there's anything, that's the thing that we've been hearing this week in so many of the messages. There's everything that we've been hearing from Pastor Dave. And I'm sure you'll even hear more of it this morning. I just believe that by the Spirit. But he says that you'll be filled with the fullness of God. How so? By getting some baptism that's beyond our comprehension in width and depth and height, and all these things are just, they're not just dimensions. There's something that he's trying to get across to us. But he concludes, basically, the next verse is a conclusion to what he's asking God. He's basically asserting and saying, and this is what I conclude, "Now unto Him," that's God, "who is able to do," "who is able to do exceedingly abundantly," he uses all these adjectives, "now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now, this may be one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible, because usually it's used to talk about the fruit instead of the real root, because we've been taught so well about contextual following in the context. We know that this whole prayer is about leading us into and teaching us about the perfect love of God. And Paul is saying, God, give them the aptitude in the Spirit to be able to reach into a place that they're not yet at. And so when we've heard this verse so often preached, and I probably had in the past, God can just do anything. He can do anything. Well, we know that's true. And there's tons of verses that describe that. There's tons of verses that describe that He's omnipotent. He can do anything. To the person that says, well, I just believe, you know, I'm broke today, but overnight, the Word says He can do exceedingly abundantly above. I mean, He can do anything. He could give me $1 million overnight. That's right. And there's plenty of Word to describe that, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is talking about the prayer that he just prayed. And he's saying, God, we really can't comprehend this love. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our ability to grasp. But he says, now unto him that is able to do what? To bring us into this comprehension. Who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we could possibly think or ask. According to, he says this, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, there's a sister scripture. I mean, it's a parallel scripture, and it's the one that, we're not going to turn there, but it's the one that we quote all the time. Romans 8:26. The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, that He Himself makes intercession for us. Why? He takes us, His groanings cannot be uttered because He knows what is the mind of Christ or the mind of the Spirit. In other words, He makes intercession to take us to places that we're not yet at. And this is what Paul is describing here. He's saying, look, how can you get to a place that you've never been? How can you comprehend something that you've never been able to, that's not even there? He said, you can't even ask for it. Well, somebody said, well, no, I can say, God, give me all of your love. God, give me, I can think of that. I can say, I can comprehend saying, God, I want the best of your best. I want to be filled. But Paul says, look, not really. Not really. Even if you said it with your mouth, until the Holy Spirit's able to coin something in your spirit, I mean, actually give you the vision of, what he's saying here is, how can you go to some place that you've never been except someone take you there? And guess who that someone is? He's the Holy Spirit. We don't even have the aptitude in ourselves. In other words, we're stuck like Chuck unless somebody takes us there. We're stuck like Chuck. We'll always be in the sphere of what we understand who He is, in His love and His capacity. But he's saying the Holy Spirit can take you out of your weaknesses. He can take you out of your comprehension to understand a love that we're saying is the love, is the finalization. It's the one who gets little kids out of wheelchairs. It's the one who solves, that love solves all, really, the answers of our life. And this is why he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What? According to that Holy Spirit power that worketh in us. Let me tell you about a couple of people. Let me tell you about this love in action, what I've been seeing. Let me testify to you about a friend of mine. His name is Homer Betancourt. We've been serving together. He's one of the elders in my church. Some of these men know him really well. He's a man that's been with me for about 17 years. Homer leads, though he's probably in his 40s, he runs a propane gas company and loves God tremendously. Sometimes he will have a congregation this size or even more on Sunday night of nothing but teenagers. And the power of God falls in that place. I mean, it falls tremendously. He's given me testimony after testimony of sometimes I go, sometimes I'm not there, where that they would line up teenagers right across the front, and he would preach the word. And he said, one particular service I remember him telling me about, he said, Pastor, I called him up to be filled with the Spirit. He said the glory of God was so strong. He said it was like the day of Pentecost. He said, I started to go down to pray for him to be filled, and all of them simultaneously were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all just began to speak in tongues before he could ever get his hands on them. So he walks in that kind of power. Last year, because Homer fights diabetes, and, you know, diabetes has, naturally speaking, it has a tremendous effect on your eyes because of the hemorrhaging. he began to lose his sight. And it got to such an acute place to where that he actually was declared legally blind. He could no longer drive. He had to take off work. They told him, the doctors basically said, this is it. You'll never see again. He's a man, probably 45. He has several children. He has some boys in high school. Every year when Pastor Dave comes to our town, it's usually in November. So that's usually the time when our high school is in the playoffs. And we have an incredible, though we're a small town. I don't know if it's genetics or what, but we are just one of the best teams in the whole state. We lost the state championship this year by 2 points in the last few seconds. Pastor Dave usually gets a chance to pray for all of those D1, Division I high school boys. This past year I sat on a stage, or went up and prayed on a stage where ESPN was there. I mean, national ESPN. And they were signing all of these boys, and they go to our church. Well, that's the kind of people that Homer mentors. All these boys come to our church. Homer got to the place where he could not even see the football field. When I would go with him, that's what Pastor Day was describing, I would sit beside of him, and a lot of times I wasn't there, so he'd have somebody sitting beside of him, and we'd have to say, okay, Homer, because he loves it so much, and he mentors these boys, and we'd have to say, okay, it's the halfback or the fullback's got the ball, and he's going around the right side. No, it's a streak. He's throwing the ball, or it's this, that, or the other. And we would try to describe to him, that's how bad his eyes got. He continued to confess the Word of God. He continued to believe God. The doctor said, the only hope that you have is maybe we can take both eyes out of socket, lay them out on the table, possibly drain all the blood out of them and put them back in, and maybe you'll have partial vision for the rest of your life. That's hopelessness, or that's a place where there's not a lot of hope. He continued to believe God, confess the Word, and stand on these kinds of scriptures about the love of God. And when Pastor Dave was down in November, and I'm sharing this with you because of the power that where we're headed and what this power has in our life and where it's taking us to. And in just a few moments, we'll get into the part where, because I'm supposed to be taking up an offering. And it is. But I remember on that one particular service, Homer sat all week long, really very despondent, in a very hopeless kind of situation, knowing that he probably would never see his kids again from the natural. And he was trying his best not to take that report on. And after 4 or 5 days of services, Pastor Dave never really received any kind of word, and Homer never came forward. He was sitting about where Kathy is sitting in our church. And I remember he kept his sunshades on because light hurt his eyes terribly. And he could not even see the front. He couldn't even see where we were at, hardly on the platform. That one particular service, he seemed to be all the more despondent. He just seemed like his whole world had come to an end. And the Holy Spirit was moving, and he was moving in that power and in that love like we've seen for the last few nights, several nights. And I remember Pastor Dave walking over. He got a word from the Lord just on the inside, and he just gently placed, like if Kathy's Homer, he just gently placed his hands on his eyelids and prayed, and just prayed a simple prayer. As a result of it, I was sitting about where I'm sitting there, and I looked over, and Homer began to look around the room. Now, you can tell when somebody's had a touch from the Lord. Sometimes people say, yeah, God touched me, but when they've had a touch, and they're blind, and now they can see, there's something there. I mean, you can see it on their face. You can see it in the exuberance of their joy. He began to say, It's changing. From that point on, now he's done his homework. He's continued to confess the Word. The church has stood with him. But I want to tell you of a modern-day miracle that I have seen. I have seen the blind see. Homer now has, he testified the other day, he says, I think I've got 20/20 in one eye, and the other one's headed that way. He's driving again. He's raising his family again. He's back out on the football field again, and all to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you about somebody really special to me. Homer's special to me. But let me tell you about Josiah Trey Lubin. Candy's looking at me. She's like, where are you going to pull this out at? Josiah is my firstborn grandson, my only really biological grandson. He's 2.5 years old. And Josiah is, I know everybody's like, you know, my kids are the greatest. They're so beautiful and everything. But really, Josiah is the most handsomest, beautiful 2.5-year-old that ever was. You know, here we go. Pictures, pictures. He really is. He's a mixed baby. His dad's Haitian, so he's got a beautiful skin color. He's got really tight, curly hair, you know, and his nana does you know, his tight Denzel Washington fades for him, and he looks good. I mean, he looks really good. He's got these big, fat, succulent lips, you know, that you just love to kiss, and he's a heavy duty. You know, most ladies in here, he's only 2.5, but most ladies couldn't pick him up. He's a chunk, and he loves Papa. He loves Papa, and he gets to stay at least one night a week. And during that 24 hours, I mean, we make him behave, but we do our best to spoil him rotten during that 24 hours. Yes. Well, Josiah, he comes to church on Sunday morning. His mom drives about 45 minutes, and he usually gets in after worship, but he comes running up the center aisle. He's the church baby. I mean, everybody wants to, he's one of those ones I want to pick him up. And well, he doesn't let everybody pick him up, but, you know, they just want to touch him and hold him and kiss him. Well, and sometimes, boy, he comes like Easter morning. Woo! He had his dress trousers on. His mama had his dress shoes, and he had a button down long sleeve shirt tucked in with a vest that matched the trousers. And a bow tie, boy, and he was looking good. And he had his new sporty haircut his Nana had given him. Well, excuse me. He'll come running in, and Candy leads worship like Kathy, and I'm usually over here, and I'm worshiping until. And this one particular day. He come running in, and I didn't know it, and usually I will pick him up, and he'll just lay his head over and on my, you know, lips, and I'll just, you know, the sugar just runs. So I just, you know, so I'm lost for a little bit. And one particular day, he comes running in, and I didn't catch it. I didn't know that he was there. Candy will usually, if she sees him running down the aisle, she'll go, like, you know, you better get ready, because he's about to bowl me over. And he come up, and worship was so strong, and we were in such exuberant, and it was loud, and it was wonderful. I didn't know that he was wanting me, and he had left his mom to try to. When I turned around, he was just sobbing. I mean, he was like, and just sobbing, like, you know, he had lost it, completely lost it, because his papa hadn't picked him up yet. And I just bent down, and I just picked him down. Well, they could have shut the whole service down. Everybody could have gone home and whatever. I mean, it was just like I picked him up and just turned around and loved him and was kissing on him and saying, Jojo, you know, I call him Joe. I said, Papa just loves you so much. And something happened during that moment. I realized that when I picked him up and when I saw him wanting me so much in those tears, and he was he had just lost it. I realized in those few moments, God began to speak to me, and there had really something supernatural happened. Really something supernatural happened inside of me. It wasn't just, you know, a grandpa, papa feeling the love for his grandson. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me. Something kind of just flipped on the inside in those few seconds. I realized that God had got something over to me. And the Lord began to, I realized that a supernatural compassion had touched my spirit. Now, it wasn't because he was in dire need. I mean, that's touching. But the Lord began to share with me in that split second. He said, That what you felt was what I feel for you, and my body magnified a million times over when they're reaching up saying, Abba, I need you. It felt as if I were God, the whole universe just shut down. And all of my attention and everything, if I were God, all of everything I was aimed at that believer, that little believer. A few days ago, during the conference, I think it was, might have been Tuesday or Wednesday, we called home. We're calling home to check on the kids. And Davy Jean, our youngest daughter, she's JoJo's mom. Well, she works at the daycare where Joe goes. And she goes, I got to tell you something. We called her early before church. She goes, you guys are probably not going to like this, but Joe was on the playground this morning, and he was running. He had his shoes on, and he ran into another little boy that was pushing a toy or whatever, and he hurt his little toe. And he came in, and they said the little guy was limping, so we took him to the local clinic, the hospital there, and they said he had fractured his little toe. Well, I just about shut the meetings down then. I told Gary was fixing me a cup of coffee later that day. I said, you know what, Candy, and I just about left the conference. He said, why? I said, well, because Joe broke his pinky toe. And he goes, well, if that had been me, I would have been gone. He goes, I'd have been out of here. That's a real grandpa right there. So I got Joe on the phone. I said, JoJo, he can talk pretty good. I said, buddy, Papa's here. I said, what? You hurt your toe? And I said, well, what do you want? And, well, he loves the movie Cars. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen that, but there's Lightning McQueen, and there's, you know, what is that guy? Mater. You know, dadgum. That's just funny right there. You know, that he loves Mater. That's the tow truck. I said, buddy, do you want? I said, your papa will get you a toy, you know. And he said, I want a Lightning and I want a Mater. Well, we've already gone across the street to Myers, and I not only got him a Mater, I got him a remote control Mater. You know why? Because I love JoJo's pinky toe. His pinky toe means more to me than anything else in this world. Do you know the love that is incomprehensible? He loves your pinky toe more than you can possibly imagine. More than you can possibly imagine. When you know that, this right here, offering, there's no way to give to it because you're trying to get something from him. When you know he loves your pinky toe more than anything else in this world, my God, this is only the fruit. It's only the fruit of an expressive heart to say, Daddy, your whole universe shuts down. It shuts down when I cry out, my pinky toe hurts. I love you, Daddy. I just want to give to you. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Pinky toe offering. If you're making a check, make it out to GCC. Hallelujah. And we call up our ushers. Amen. Pray. We're going to pray over the offering. Hey, Nana, come up and pray over the offering. Would you pray over the offering? Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that just as all things are yours, they are ours. And Lord, this is really all for you. And God, we thank you that this offering is blessed. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, you know what's needed. You know more about all this than we do. So Lord, we thank you that whatever it is that you want to do, it will be accomplished. We thank you, Lord, that every need will be met. This offering is blessed, and everything that you had in mind that would come in, it will come in, and we receive it. in your wonderful name. And God bless the people. God bless everyone that can give this morning, everyone that wants to give. Lord, I thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that they're all blessed in you. In your name, amen.